A lot of things as the week went on that I thought about, and the main thought and the main theme just kept coming back to me was, you know, being a real Christian, no matter if you're a teenager or an adult, is to just be a real Christian. It's a problem in our society today to be just a genuine Christian. You know, John 15:11, you know, Jesus said that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. And we have a lot of Christians that just don't have that joy remaining. And others aren't seeing it in their lives as well. You can turn to James. We're not going to be in John. If you want to flip somewhere, you can go to James chapter 1. But a lot of times we see Christians that are shallow and fake in our society today. And Christians looked at as not alive or unloving or cold. And, you know, quite frankly, some of us have earned that reputation. And we come across that way. And we kind of pigeonhole our religion instead of sharing our relationship. And we come to church and we have a list of do's and don'ts and things that we want to do and things that we have in our lives. But yet, it's not real. And especially when it comes to teenagers. If it's just a fake thing, if it's just something that you do out of duty, then children will pick up on that. And teens particularly, as they start battling with the world and their admiration of people in the world and start seeing things that are fun and exciting and energetic and lively, then they look around the church. Now, the poor pastor, he's got to look around every Sunday morning and watch people sleep all through the pew. But I'm not talking about just being on alert that way. But, you know, our lives themselves need to be modeling to people, to other believers, that we are influencing them to live for God and to do what's right. Adults, but also teenagers. There's always people watching you. And the frumpy, grumpy people that walk around and, yeah, I'm a Christian. You know, so what? What about it? Bless God. And they're just miserable. Kids don't want anything to do with that. And we wonder what's wrong with this generation. We wonder what's wrong with the last couple generations. But we don't live Christianity the way the Bible meant for us to live it. You know, we need to be excited. To be more excited about God than anything else. You know, Brother Baldwin, you know, brought up and talked about that. You know, we scream and shout and get up and hoop and holler over our sports team or something else. Some of you are that way about politics. You get all excited and you'll get red in the face and you'll argue all day with somebody about politics and, you know, the kingdom of, you know, this world. But you know, we don't get excited about the things of God. We don't get excited to go out. There's nothing better than, and I remember, you know, as a youth pastor, we'd get kids, and I know you're not supposed to do this, Brother Butch, but we'd get kids and take them and sit them on the back of a pickup truck on the tailgate with VBS flyers, and we just hit a street, and they just jump off and just you know, hit, and we'd drive around and throw them back in, and we'd get 27 people in the back of a pickup truck, and it was a church-approved one, though, and there were seatbelts in the back. But but you don't see that anymore, where people are excited to do that. I mean, it doesn't even take nerves to walk up to somebody's door, and I tell them, don't even knock on the door. Don't stop to get in a conversation with somebody. If they're watering their plants or they come to the door, then you can talk to them. But just slip the piece of paper, you know, you roll it up and you teach them how to professionally roll it so that when you set it by the doorknob, it just kind of springs back and just has that power, you know, to stay on there until the little rainstorm blows up and then they call you because the neighborhood's littered in flyers. But, you know, we need to have that zeal and that excitement about the things of the Lord and have that energy to go out and to be an influence to others. To be passionate, particularly for the Scriptures and spiritual things, submissive to the will of God in every area of our lives, that others will see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. And many times, instead, we talk about camp decisions. Oh, yeah, that's a camp decision. Well, brother, let's see how long this one lasts. And, oh, yeah, they got baptized the last 4 years in a row after they came back from camp. And maybe this one will stick. But these kids have a desire to do what's right. They have a desire to please God, but they're pulled by the world. They're pulled by their own flesh. And the devil is trying to defeat them and destroy them and destroy churches and destroy leaders and destroy pastors in great numbers today. But the remedy for that teenager, church people, pastors, is to be in the Word of God, to be a Word-filled individual, to be a person that sticks to the Word of God. As a teenager, you went to camp and you wondered, wow, what was different about this week? Besides the fact that you're away from your own, you know, your own homes and some of your friends and some of the influences, but you are saturated and thrown in to a lot of the Word of God. And the devotions and the times and the preaching and the spiritual atmosphere will be times that you will grow. But just like any plant or anything else, if we don't feed it, then guess what? It's not going to grow. We're to feed our Christianity by the Word of God and allowing the Word of God to get deep in our hearts and to change us and to help us to be a people that are submissive and surrendered to the will of God. We're to be joyful. You know, we're to be happy and not hateful. To have a brilliant countenance and not bitter. You know, to be sweet, not sour, tender, not tough, meek, and not mean-spirited. A lot of times we just kind of are there. A lot of times we just have that wrong spirit and that sour look on our face. And nobody wants to be like you. Nobody wants to have what you have because you ain't got nothing. And that's the problem a lot of times. We as adults need to be role models so that parents and spiritual leaders aren't discouraging to the teens. Whether it's after camp or any time of the year, that they see us and they say, you know what? I want him to sign my Bible. I want them to be part of my life. I want to be like them because they're just a normal old Joe, just working for a living and taking care of their family. But they got something. They have a love for the Lord and they have a joy and an excitement and a passion and an energy about them. And we need to have that in our lives. You know, I told you to turn to James, so we'll go ahead and get there. I have two sermonettes and two sermons here tonight, but I'll try not to preach them all. It's one of those pastor gets up and preaches week after week after week, and then sometimes you have an evangelist come in or you go somewhere and you say, man, what a great dynamic message. You know, we'll try preaching, you know, four times a week. And then the opposite of that is when you come in and you say, all right, brother, you get to preach tonight. Where do I start? You know, how long can I have them? And which passages do I have to stick to with that? We'll go ahead and turn here in the book of James, chapter 1. Let's read the first several verses here. James 1, starting in verse 1. James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let none that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We'll go ahead and stop there. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your goodness, Lord. We thank you for your word. God, I pray that you would be with each teenager. Lord, that you would bless them in their lives. God, that you would put a spiritual leader and mentor in their lives, whether it is an older brother or sister, Lord, a mom or a dad, Lord, a youth worker, a youth pastor, a pastor, or Lord, someone that is in their life, involved with them, Lord, to help them and to teach them, to help them to have a desire to live for you, to do what's right. Lord, I pray that each of us, even as adults, would be accountable to someone, to have that spiritual friend. Lord, as your word says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends. Lord, we pray that you would help us to listen to your word tonight. Thank you, God, for the great privilege of standing here, being able to open your word and to preach your truth. Lord, I pray that no one would see me, but they would see your word. God, that they would be able to learn to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ as a result of us being here and meeting together today, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. As a genuine Christian, you must be growing stronger daily. As a believer, we're in a society that is trying to pull us down, that is trying to trap us, that's trying to destroy us and knock us off course as a Christian. Now, you talk to people on the street, they may not know that they are part of that ploy, that they are part of that trap, but that is a tool and a trap of Satan. Time is one of the things that God uses in our lives to teach us more from His Word, to grow, to be able to be more like Him, to take that time and spend time in a relationship with Him. But don't you know the devil figured that out as well? And he uses time to distract us. You know, you hear, you know, it's been said for years that an idle mind, you know, is the devil's workshop. And you know, some of that is true, but we bought that as well, and now we've filled so many things in our lives and the technology that we're sitting around and we're always on some kind of social media or Facebook and tweeting and just playing on our phones and texting and calling, and there's always something going on, and we have a nice electronic device that we can use to keep our minds busy. But you know, that doesn't always keep us sharp. You know, that keeps us from doing things we should do, like taking time and getting in our prayer closet and spending time on our knees with God. Or maybe spending more time in the Word of God. Or even a novel idea today is, after you pray and read the Bible, is to meditate on the things of God and allow God to speak to you. You know, I'm not talking levitating and crossing your arms and legs and meditating as some Zen Buddhist might. But just to think, and to allow God's Word to get into your heart and to change you as a believer so that you can, you know, live for Him. We're going to look at three areas a believer can be growing daily in so that they can be a real Christian, no matter what your age. First one is the state of the genuine believer, verses 1 through 4. As we read this here in this passage, you know, we see that we are a slave to Christ, you know, a bond slave, you know, the lowest of all slaves. We don't have the opportunity to decide, what am I going to do today as a slave? You know, I think I'll get up around 10, maybe go for a walk, maybe a couple laps in the pool, and maybe I'll stop and cut some fresh flowers on the side of the road that the state planted and I'll steal from them. Is that a pet peeve to anyone? That bothers me. You see people cutting the flowers along the road that the state planted. But, you know, as a bond slave, you don't have to worry about that. You don't have the luxury of deciding, what am I going to do today? Everything that we do, everything in us should be to serve our master. Now, we have to eat, we have to rest, we have to do some things in our lives that are just physical maintenance to take care of ourselves. But our whole life, our whole goal, our whole aspirations should be in serving the Lord Jesus Christ, to being an influence to those around us, to being able to witness and to see people saved. You know, obedience is without, you know, our own volition or will. We don't have a choice in this matter. We see here that we will be persecuted as well. We'll be opposed as Christians, you know, by the world. You know, we need to prove and to be tested in our testimony to be able to stand strong, to be able to do these things. You know, for these kids just to come up here and stand doesn't seem like a great thing to do, but they're scared to death just to come up here and to give a testimony among friends in church. Just think how hard it is then to live the Christian life in front of friends that either aren't saved or that are as carnal as a goat, and that they are pulling them down and trying to discourage them, even in a Christian school. You know, here at OCA, we have students that don't want to be here, that don't want to do what's right, and go out of their way to make fun of and to pull down and destroy other people. You know, we need to pray for our teens. We need to pray for one another, to lift each other up. That's one of the greatest reasons to come to church, that we can encourage one another, to edify one another, to help draw closer that person next to you on the pew to the Lord Jesus Christ, to be an influence to them spiritually and to help them, to be a prayer partner with them, and to partner with some of these teens and to encourage them along the way. It really won't hurt you a whole lot and take a lot of your time to do that either. You know, we are going to have a persecuted life. We are a slave. We also are going to have a suffering life. Verse 2 and 3, you know, talked about. It's not when, you know, it's not if these problems are going to come, but it's when they come. And we're going to have temptations. We're going to have trials. We're going to have these things that are in our life that is going to be difficult. And sometimes we look at life and things seem to be going well. Well, that's because something's happening to somebody else, maybe. But your time's coming, and that difficulty is going to come. Now, how are we going to react shows who we are and reveals the character that we have that was given to us at salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ. So, are we going to decide to do what's right? Or are we going to decide to do what's easy? And most of the time, those two are not the same thing. We as believers need to realize that temptations and trials and troubles are coming in our life if we're not already experiencing them. And the only way to prepare for them is to have the Word of God hid in our hearts and our lives so that we just don't memorize Scripture for the sake of memorizing it, but we memorize it so that we can apply it to every area, to every situation, to every problem. When those temptations come, and temptations to sin, they don't come from God. You know, they're coming from our own flesh or the devil. But when those temptations come, it's the Word of God that we can use to defeat those temptations. You know, quote Scripture. Pray when those temptations come. And, you know, allow the Lord to work in us and to help us through those situations as they do come. You know, as a genuine Christian, you know, must be growing stronger daily. And we've seen the state of the genuine believer. But now let's look at the strength of the genuine believer. Verses 5 through 11 goes on and it talks about how that we are to be pursuing divine wisdom, you know, in verse 5. You know, if we lack wisdom, then ask of God. And we are to be pursuing that on a daily basis. This isn't something that we get saved and we say, Lord, give me wisdom to live the Christian life. Thank you. I'll see you when we get to heaven. You know, we must be looking in God's Word daily for the strength to make it through that day. As a teenager, as an adult, we need to be immersed in the Word of God. God's Word is a book that was written a long time ago by the Spirit of God Himself for us to use as a daily handbook to live the Christian life. We can't do it without Him. We can't do it without His Spirit. And we can't do it without His Word. We must be pursuing that divine wisdom. You know, somewhere along the line, I realized that I think this preacher preached on this and talking about a man or a woman of God that is word-filled is also one that is spirit-filled. And you look up and it talks about the qualities and the fruits of being spirit-filled. Well, it's the same thing for being word-filled. They go hand in hand. You want to know, you know, Lord, fill me with Your Spirit. Help me to be a spirit-filled Christian. Well, it starts by being a word-filled Christian, one that will read the Word of God, that will daily, yearly, you know, going through the Word of God and just putting it in their heart, in their life, and looking for ways that they can apply it to their life. And we need to be doing that. We need to be using that as the greatest remedy to fight the temptations and the carnality that we face today. We need to be persevering in prayer, verses 5 and 6. We see that prayer changes things in our life. With prayer, we can do anything that God can do. God will work in us and through us and use us for His glory if we are a people that will pray. We see people a lot of times that they don't know how to pray. They can't look back at any time in their life and say, God answered this prayer. A lot of those same people will be the ones that are always asking and wanting and asking for prayer from other people, but they don't even realize when that prayer is even met or answered that it was from God and acknowledge back and give thanks to God for that answered prayer. Now, you want someone to get a hold of God and to have your prayers answered, then you look for someone that has a whole list of answered prayer. And we all have to start somewhere. As teenagers, start in your life where you are asking God for things. And then you're keeping track of that, whether mentally or writing it down. And then when it's answered, that you thank God for that. And you remember that. And that becomes a memorial stone in your life that you can look back and say, God does love me. God helped me here. God answered this prayer in my life and allows you to grow stronger and to grow more in prayer and depending on God and realize that you need Him. We also see how that we are permanent in our faith, verses 6 through 8. The same faith that saved you is the same faith that keeps you daily living and following Christ. Now, it's not a work. It's not something we have to do. It's just trusting in Him. The same God that saved us, we put that same amount of faith in our daily living. Well, I can't live the Christian life. It's hard as a teenager today. I can't do it. No, you can't. But you put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you depend on Him. And you totally relax and rest in Him. Lord, I need you to help me through this day. This day. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next year. Today. What can I get from your word today? Help me to depend on that. Help me to trust in you. And it's one step, one day, one week at a time that we live and that we put our faith and trust in Him. Verses 9 through 11, we also here see a proudless in contentment. Verse 9 says, "Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withers the grass, and the flower thereof faileth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways." We are content with what we have. We are content with what God gives us. Our possessions, our wealth, and all these things in our society that drives Hollywood, that drives the sports world, all these things are going to pass away. All these things are going to fail. But what you do for the Lord Jesus Christ will last in eternity. And God blesses some Christians. And some people have more money they know what to do with. God didn't give me that because He knows I wouldn't be a wise steward of it. But our riches isn't of this world. And all that the world has will pass away. We need to be content and to be humble and to be a person that trusts in God day to day to live and to eat and to have and to take care of our families so that we can please Him and serve Him with our lives. As a genuine Christian, you must be growing stronger each day of your life. The third thing I want to look at here is just the steadfastness of the genuine believer. Verses 12 through 16.
Verse 12 says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren." You know, there's a reward for that enduring temptation. That we are people that realize that, you know, temptation is going to be here. We're going to face that on multiple levels our entire lives. But God says, you know what? It's a test. It's a trial. And in some of it's just the fact that we have Adam and Eve and we have sin in our lives in this world. And we have a sin nature even after salvation. But we are to endure to the end. We're to be a people that will overcome daily. Again, not on our own strength, but on God, on His Word, on His Spirit. That He teaches us each day what to do. He helps us one step at a time again, so that we can endure that temptation. And on verse 13 and 14, we see the nature of that temptation. We see how it comes in our life. We see that, you know, it's going to come. It's going to be there. Some of you are tempted by different things. Some people have a weakness or a temptation, you know, for lying or for stealing or for just pleasures in life. But we all have problems. And we all have sin knocking at our heart's door and trying to pull us and trying to drag us into the mire. But as that temptation comes, again, the only way to overcome that is by applying the Word of God and the Spirit of God that we have living inside of us to that problem or that sin or that temptation. So that we can endure. So that we can overcome. And realize that all these things that we have, all these things that we face, that aren't new to us. It's not new to this generation. Well, they didn't have technology back in Noah's day, or he never would have built the ark. They probably wouldn't. He'd probably been texting and forgot to build the ark. But, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. There's no new evil under the sun. But God is the same God that helped the Hebrew children, that helped the disciples, our founding fathers of this country, and the same God that can help us today in our technology-filled lives. God loves us, each and every one of you. He wants you to succeed. He doesn't want you to fail. The devil wants you to fail. But God wants you to be a success. God wants you to have joy in your life. God wants you to not be a person that is beaten down by all these sins and these temptations, but instead that you learn to overcome by the Spirit of God and the Word of God so that you can be that testimony at your workplace, in your neighborhood, with your family, to the people in your church, to encourage them, to strengthen them, to help them to see the need to be more energetic, to be more joyful, to be more loving, to not be a bitter person that's upset over something that happened and the color of the pew was changed 20 years ago. But you know, we need to realize there are people watching us. There's teenagers watching you. There's people in your own home watching you. And we need to be that people that don't give in to these temptations, that don't just get mad and fly off the handle, but that we learn each day to walk the walk of faith. And when we fail and we fall and we sin, and we will, young people, That's a problem too that we see a lot of times, that the adults like to act like they don't ever sin and nothing ever happens in their life. But you know, I'll tell you a secret. They sin each day too. We sin. But it's how you get up that makes the difference. It reveals the character that you have. Are you going to go back to the Word of God? Are you going to go back to God and ask forgiveness and start over again? You know, finally we close here with the deceit of temptation in verse 16. We get to the place that we realize that we're all going to face these problems. We're all going to face these temptations. But how are you going to react? How are you going to respond? You know, be real with God, because He knows everything that you do and everything that you think. You may be able to pull the wool over on the pastor's eyes, or maybe your spouse, or maybe your children, or maybe those that you work with. But you know what? You're not fooling God. So go ahead and confess to Him whatever sin that He is pointing out to you right now. And realize that you can't get over it without Him. You can't overcome without His Word, without His Spirit, without His help. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, not only as your Savior, but as the King of your life, to help you to live a victorious Christian life. Are you a genuine Christian? Are you real today? What's in your heart? What do people not know about you? And you know, it really doesn't matter if they know or don't know, because God already knows. And God loves you, and God died for that sin. Why not give it to Him today? Be an influence on those around you, particularly our teenagers. Pray for them this week as they go back to the real world, temptations and the problems of their lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for all that You do. Lord, we pray that You would help us to be growing as genuine Christians, that we would be stronger each day as a result of being in Your Word, being on our knees. Lord, we pray that You would help us to live for You and to serve You. Lord, help us to, as Brother Baldwin said, Lord, give diligence to make our calling and election sure. Lord, it's our responsibility to add these virtues to our lives in 2 Peter chapter 1. God, I pray that You would help us to do that each day. Help us, God, to live for You. Help us to serve You. Help us to please You with our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.